different types of jobs or tasks sometimes require different types of clothing. And sometimes the choice of clothing is one which we, I guess, can call pragmatic, because it's functional, that certain clothing makes sense to do certain types of tasks. So the shift in this week's parsha from last week is now the shift is moving towards the Kohen from the Mishkan. So last week was really collecting all kinds of materials and the construction of the Mishkan and the pieces which are going to be inside it, or for a lack of a better term, I can call it the furniture, which I know that it just, you don't like it in that context whatsoever, but if you have a better word to use, I'll be very happy to replace furniture with something else. But they did have a lamp, and they did have a table, and they did have, so on. So, as I said, it's the Mishkan itself and the furniture. And this week, the shift is moving towards the Kohanim, and the role that the Kohen, again, the human side within the Mishkan. And source number one, Perek Kaf Chet, Pasuk Dalet, says, Ve'ela habigadim, and these will be the articles of, we're going to have a hard time translating today, which means as much as we can avoid translating, we will. So all of you know what the word beged means, or begadim, ve'elo begadim, so for lack of a better word right now, we'll try, and this is the clothing, or the attire, which the Kohanim will use, asher ya'asu, so now it's talking about this is what you will make, choshen ve'efod, umi'il, uktonit tashbeitz, mitznefet ba'avnet. And you do realize that some of these words are familiar and some of these words are absolutely unfamiliar, because there really is not any other use of these words unless they were borrowed from this. So these are really very specific terms. Va'asu bigdei kodesh. So again, in the beginning, elah bigadim, and now make bigdei kodesh, make holy clothing, garments, whatever word you want to use. La'aharon achicha ulevanav l'chahanoli. So in order to be a Kohen, you need to use this kind of clothing. The Gemara, which should not serve as that much of a surprise, the Gemara is going to seek significance to these different articles, and the Gemara's thesis is that the different articles of clothing have different functions and themselves bring about forgiveness, which means just like I can tell you there's a Korban X for this purpose and a Korban Y for this one, the Gemara understands the same. Now, in order to create this association, the Gemara over here is not starting with our psukim. It's talking about the Big Day Kahuna, but it's not using our psukim. Rather, the Gemara is using a connection and the verses later on in Vayikra when this actually becomes operational. So there, Amar Rav, source number two, Amar Rav Anani Bar Sason, Lama nismacha parshat korbanot levigdei kahuna. Why are these two things, meaning the korbanot, the offerings, why are they juxtaposed right next to the section bigdei kahuna? Now, if you went looking in our parsha for that juxtaposition, you're not going to find it, because it's not talking about here. Rather, it's talking about in Vayikra parshat tzav. So it says, why are these things put together? Lomar lecha, to tell you, ma korbanot mechaprim, just like the korban brings about kapara, atonement, Af big day kahuna mechaprim. In the same way that the very clothing of the Kohen brings about kapara. And now the Gemara is going to go piece by piece, article by article, telling you what these various things do and how they bring about kapara. I do want to ruin this a little bit. And I'm not going to say what the Gemara is going to say, but I do want to ruin it a little bit. If you look back at the words in source number one, the Ve'elah HaBigadim, the word beged also can have a negative connotation to it. Or bigida can have a negative connotation. The word me'il or me'ila can have a negative connotation to it. The word kitonet, well, I think it also can have a negative connotation, but not in terms of its essence, but rather in terms of its usage. And that we'll see in a moment. The Gemara now is going to say as follows. Back into the middle of source number two. Ktonet mechaperet al shvichut damim. Ktonet, which the Kohen's going to wear, brings about forgiveness for murder. Now that's, hold it. Where did ketonet, and how is it connected to murder? And this is exactly what bothers me. Vayishchatu se'ir izim v'yitpalu et ha'ketonet bedam. Which ketonet are we talking about? The ketonet pasim of Yosef, which means that, I said, beged, me'il, has negative connotations. Now we realize that the word ketonet is part of the narrative of one of the worst sins that ever happened, and now it's also going to be part of the attire of the Kohen. It doesn't stop there. Michnasayim, michaprim agilei arayot. Michnasayim are understood by the Gemara is something which will actually cover the area where gilei arayot is normally practiced. Shenemar v'asei lehem michnasei bad l'chasot basar erva. So what it's describing in our parasha, the clothing for the Kohen, it says you're going to put on michnasayim, which by the way, michnasayim would probably be closer to what we would call underwear or something like that. It says that's used to cover the basar erva. So if the word erva is used, and that's what this particular clothing is used to cover, so it must be there to bring about forgiveness for that realm as well. The hamitznefet, which is up on the head, michaperet al gasei haruach, where people feel very high, as it were. Minayin, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Yavo Davar Shebegova V'Yichaper Al Gova. Avnet, which is by the heart, Mechaper Al Hiru Halev. It'll bring about sins for people who are have perhaps thoughts, wondering. Ahecha De'ita, in the same place that it sits. Choshen, Mechaper Al Dinim. Choshen will bring about forgiveness for somebody who breaks laws. Laws generally here would be man-to-man laws, which, by the way, of course, one has to make one has to fix the relationship in terms of the person, return the thing which they stole, as the case may be. But also, there is a sin in terms of God. Shenemar, as it says, Vasita Choshen Mishpat. So the link of Choshen and Mishpat is where the Choshen is connected to Mishpat. And now you can perhaps understand why when the Torah made his various sections, the Shulchan Aruch, he called the ones with interpersonal laws Choshen Mishpat. Ephod, Mechaper al Avodazara. Shenemar ve'in ephod utrafim. The fact that the ephod is mentioned late in connection in Hosea together with trafim, so therefore the ephod brings about forgiveness for the avodah zarah. U'mi'il mechaper lashon al lashon hara. The mi'il brings about forgiveness for lashon hara. Amar b'chini avodah varshe b'kol v'chaper al kol hara. The mi'il had little bells on it, so when it would go, it would rustle and make noise as it made its way. So therefore, because it has noise, therefore it will forgive the noise. Tzitz, michaper al azut panim, b'tzitz k'tiv, haya al metzach aharon, u'ba'azit panim k'tiv, u'metzach isha zona, haya lach. So over here at the Gemara, okay, you could decide if it worked hard or if it feels this is obvious, but the Gemara does want to say that it's not, that the big day kahuna are not just that the Kohen needs to wear something. So he says, no, that each one of these articles, that it's not just symbolism, that each one of these articles have functionality in terms of what the purpose of the Mishkan is. So that's what the Gemara lays out. Now, I want to go back to what I said a couple of moments before when we started the Gemara. And that is that Beged has this uncanny connection to Bigida. Beged meaning clothing, and bigida means... How do you want to translate?
Treachery.
You want to translate, okay. So beged... What?
Treason.
And me'ila? How would you translate me'ila?
Stealing. Actually, bigida is actually more like perfidy.
Betrayal. Is good. Bring out all the negative words now. And
misappropriation
would be mi'ila. Mi'ila would be misappropriation. Very good. So, the Rabbeinu Bachaye that we're going to read right now in source number 3, we could have just as easily read the Gemara. The reason why we chose a commentary on the Chumash instead of the Gemara itself is simply because the Gemara is a little bit more confusing. And the way that he phrases it here, it's a little easier. In the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim, there was a reference to the person who sells their daughter as a female servant, and as part of the end of the process, it uses this term, bivigdo ba. There's an argument to the Gemara, at least two-way, maybe a three-way argument, what the word uvigdo ba means. So now let's move into the Rabbeinu Bachaye, because he's going to consider the different opinions of what bivigdo ba means. Hu boged bibito. The person who sold his daughter as a servant, boged bibito. Translate? He betrayed his daughter. Boged ba. Now, does this need to be explained, or is all of this, you know, completely understood by us? This is an act of treachery, it's an act of betrayal that he sold his daughter. Hu boged bibito im yumkar ota, zulotila mishir cholisa ota liisha. Which means the only way that this law makes sense, according to Rabbeinu Bachaye, the only way we can explain this law as far as he's concerned, is if in reality what's taking place is a marriage. To give your daughter in the hand of marriage to somebody makes sense. To sell your daughter as a servant makes no sense whatsoever. So this ubivigdo ba is part of the law. What happens when the fellow doesn't marry her? And at the end of the time of the servitude, that's where this word vigdo ba comes in. Which means if this father was trying to marry the daughter off, he did not do a very good job of this. And by the way, we can also consider, you know, the morality or relative morality involved, and forget about selling your daughter, but marrying her off as well. I mean, it could be that we're not here talking about whatever, I don't know, the opposite of betrayal is one of loyalty. But over here it says, but if you didn't even succeed in finding a proper husband for her and you just ended up selling her as a servant, which means, here's a technicality in terms of the Gemara. If the man gave money to the father and she is under 12 years old, and he decides to keep her as a wife, so the money that he paid over was the wedding money. That was the harayat mekudeshetli. In retrospect, that's what it was. It was a wedding. It only becomes an issue of servitude, in retrospect, at the point when, at the end of this given time, he doesn't keep her as a wife. So at that point, in retrospect, what did he do? He sold his daughter as a slave. That's where this verse, or this phrase comes in, bivigdo ba, he betrayed his daughter. Because he sold her as a slave. Which means it's one thing to send her over and to make an arranged marriage. Okay, as I said, that's one thing to have an arranged marriage. It's quite another thing in retrospect just to have a situation of slavery. That's what Rabbeinu Bachaye is saying. Again, bivigdoba hu bogei bivito imin korota zulati lamisha cholisa uta lisha. If he sold his daughter to somebody, anybody other than somebody who will take her as a wife, then you sold her as a slave. And that's an act of betrayal. Uvimasechet kedushin beperek kama, Daf Yudchet Amidbet, Nechloku Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Akiva b'milazo shel bivigdo ba. We have an argument to the Gemara. What does this word bivigdo ba mean? Zemivin milashon bigida. Zemivin milashon beged. One understands the meaning is betrayal. The other understands the meaning is clothing. Rabbi Akiva sover yesh aim la mikra, that we give prominence to the context. Kevin Shaparash Talito Aleha, Shuv Einu Rishai L'Mochra, once he spreads his talit on her, by the way, now very much think in terms of chuppah, then he can certainly not sell her at that point. Rilezusorva Yesh Eim L'Mesoret regarding tradition, which will take it in the other direction. He vinra bikivi milad bivigdo milashon beged mamash, kimova tifseu bivigdo, which by the way is a fascinating example that he just now brought us, because now he brought us of another. He brought a really interesting example where the word beged is used as clothing. And what was that example? Where Yosef goes in to do his work and Eshet Potiphar grabs him by the beged, but we all know that there's a difference of opinion in the Gemara, whether he went in at this particular juncture, which by the way I think is a very difficult interpretation contextually. Did he go in with a desire to be with her this time, or did he go in quite innocently? But either way, she grabs his clothing. So there is a Talmudic tradition that says he's innocent, so therefore she dragged his clothing. There is a tradition that says that he went in to be with her, so then at that point he was betraying his value, so she grabbed him by his betrayal, which becomes a very interesting double entendre over there. So it's quite interesting, as I said, of all cases to use the word beged, why not use one which we can't possibly get confused rather than this one where we can get confused? But let's continue. And he says, on the other hand, Hivin Rabbi Kiva, Milat Bivigdo, Bilashon Beged Mamash Kamova Tifseo Bivigdo, Ulechein amar kevin shaparas talito aleha, once he spread the talit on her, vehim hakidushin k'inin shakatuv uparasta kanfecha al amatecha. In the case of Rut. She'ilu hoim alashon begida, and here's where they lose me. You can, all the wiser people will know what this means. Haya hakatuv ro'i lomar bigdo bekamatz chataf. Avohula shon begid vitalit. Umasha amar ba, kimo aleha, kiloshon hakatuv. Habimasher. And you're chayv ba, shahu kimo aleha. Rabbi Lezer hivin milat bivigdo milashon bigida. The alpha pi shalo amar bivigdo bekamatz chataf. But mar bivigdo becherik tachat abet. Miloshon bigidahu, veloshon makorhu, kamo bishivre lachem atalechem. Ulchain iskir loshon ba, share loshon bigila, lo matza'anu ki imvet. Vu shakatuv, I'm skipping a little bit. Verebi Shimon, the second line to the end, the very last one line, Verebi Shimon, and last line. Sova yesh aim la mikra, ula misaret, vidarshinen kuhu, veloshon beged, uveloshon bigida. And Rabbi Shimon, as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so he says, well, by the way, it's interesting because Rabbi Elezer is a teacher of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is a teacher of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Elezer took one position, Rabbi Akiva took the other position, and over here we find Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taking both positions, and says that whenever you see the word beged, it means both beged and begida. That means so again, if you want to get a little existential over here, so you wait a minute and I'll do that in a moment. But what he's saying is that the word beged has both connotations. If you look at the Baal HaTurim, bivigdo, again, commentary on the verse in Mishpatim, bivigdo ba, shnei b'misora. This is found twice in the text. Ve'idach v'tifseo bivigdo. And the other case, of course, is by Yosef. And therefore, again, he connects it back to the Gemara in Kedushin. And that's where Rabbi Akiva understands bivigdo means spreading the clothing. Rabbi Lezer, nami sover kevin shebeged ba shuv einu rishay lamachra, v'dorish bivigdo loshon bigida. V'yunami alif beged dahata mehacha, shegam sham haita bigida, shesover kamoda amar la, so tzrachav nichnas elav, aviv. So over here, he does go to that other tradition regarding Yosef and saying, well, by Yosef, there's also a concept of bigida in the sense that he went in to do something immoral until he sees his father's image. So all that I wanted you to get out of sources 3 and 4 was the sense that the word beged is a more complicated word and has within it. And again, when you go back to that first pasuk now, ve'eila ha-begadim va'asu bigdei kodesh. So the word itself, beged, is one which should be somewhat disturbing. When we move to 19th century, both Rav Hirsch and the Malbim, I mean, by the way, you would think that they almost copied from one another, almost word for word, but we're going to look at both of them. And they go a little bit broader than just the problem that we started with in terms of beged, but they also notice the other thing that we referenced, and that was the word mi'ila. Commentary on the word kitim ol ma'al. Now, those of you who don't remember in Vayikra, the word ma'al is used in two contexts, one after the other. One was talking about a misappropriation in terms of the Beit HaMikdash, somebody who goes in and uses something from the Beit HaMikdash for their own personal use, which is misappropriation. And the other place where it's used is right there in the exact same context, is in the law of Sota. Regarding a woman that was misappropriated, as it were, or had relations with, or suspected of other than her husband, the word mi'ilah is used in both cases. By the way, that itself is very interesting, because it would indicate that just like something which is consecrated and dedicated to the Mishkan or to the Mikdash underwent a process of Kedushin, and Kedushin therefore means that this is its unique purpose and cannot be used for other purposes, so the same way in terms of relationship of marriage, you have, and by the way, you're not going to get away using this by Sheva Brachot, by talking about, right? You can't use the word Sota and Sheva Brachot like in the same sense, but over here nonetheless, it seems to be this concept of, it is also has a process of Kedushin, and therefore is only for one. I don't like using the word usage over here, but it's a question of consecration, and therefore any other use would be taking something which is dedicated towards holiness. So that's the verse that he's starting with. Kitim al ma'al, ma'al karov le mi'il. The word ma'al, what does the word ma'al mean? So again, we decide it means misappropriation. He says it's very close to the word me'il. Now, what does the word me'il mean? When you say coat, right? Yeah. A coat. So now you could say, well, really close words, but what in the world is the connection? V'ke'enze, Rav Hirsch points out, bogad karov lebeged. So he notices we have a theme then. I mean, once you have two, then already you have to suspect that there's something which is deeper going on. Mitgale kan mahalach ha-machshavot ha-harmoni sheyatzar et shorshei ha-lashon ha-ivrit. We notice something over here which can point to the very essence of language. Beged hu lavush ha-adam, begida hi hafarat emunim be'inyanim anushiyim klaliyim. Clothing, beged, is clothing of man, and begida is where a person betrays, shall we say, human principles. Me'il hu levusha kohen gadol. Me'il is the clothing of the kohen gadol. Me'ilahi hafarat emunim b'ninei k'dusha v'kuna. And me'ilah is when one misappropriates and therefore breaks confidence in terms of the holiness of the kuna. Nirefu shehaboged ose ma'aseh beged, that the person who's a boged, guilty of betrayal, does an action of beged. What does beged mean? So now, what he's trying to get to is now cover up. That's where he's going with this. Beged in terms of a cover up. V'hamo'el oseh ma'aseh me'il. Bigdo shel adam hu siman la'ofiyav. A person's clothing should indicate something about them. Now, by the way, if this is true, I don't need you to fight with me on this. You can have this fight with your own daughters. I don't care. Bigdo shel adam hu siman la'ofiyav. The clothing of an individual indicates something about their essence. Im he'iminu bi ka'adam. If they're going to believe me as a person, ve'ani machzev be'emun zeh, mitbarer shayiti rak beged greida. Klape chutz ani nireh ka'adam, ach in kan ela masicha. And that's why I'm saying he's getting very existential over here in terms of the clothing and how it covers up and the essence of the person and so on. And if there's this real disconnect between what the person looks like on the outside. And by the way, what does that mean when you say what a person looks like on the outside? It means the way that they present themselves, the clothing they wear. So if there's a disconnect between the way that they're dressed and in terms of their behavior, so at that point the clothing became a mask. And the clothing itself is an act of betrayal in terms of who this person actually is. So far, that's what Rav Hirsch said. V'chein ma'ul, ha'yur she'in l'tzvot imenu sh'aruach kuna tif'om b'kir bi. I could have suspected that by a Kohen, the spirit of being a Kohen, you like that tif'om b'kir bi, is pumping inside in the heart. On the other hand, they only wore the masks of Kohanim. Again, think of Bnei Eli and so on. This was not real Kohanim. Mesechet Me'ila Nemar Ein Ma'al Ela Shinoi. V'chein hu Omer Ish Ish Ki Tistei Ishto Ma'al Obo Ma'al. So therefore, he points out as well that the word is used again. Same Perek, Perekei, is used also in terms of a betrayal, a sota, v'yimalu be'elokei avoteichem v'yaznu acharei v'chulei. This is found in Divrei Yamim, talking about all of Klal Yisrael. Loshon mi'ilam mitzayenet et hafarat ha'imun shel isha klapei ba'ala. On the one hand, we find mi'ilah in terms of the lack of faith in the relationship of the wife and her husband, v'shel Yisrael klapei Hashem, and we find the same way that it's used in terms of the Jewish people and God. U'mikan she'en mi'ilah ela shinui. It means it's a switch in terms of the way things should have been. Naguta mo'el hi shonem mizeshe ra'ui l'tzafotla. And therefore, the one who's guilty of mi'ilah acts in a way which is not the way that we expected. And by the way, you do understand his connection between bigida and mi'ilah. He says we essentially have things which are very similar. V'kach b'yechasei el kodshei Hashem, ha'mo'el nohag b'hem shelo k'ra'ui b'nigud l'ma sheyatzafoi al pi yi'udam. So therefore, in terms of what was expected, what their goal or role in life was, we have something was misappropriated along the way, and something here is completely wrong. The Malbim, as I said, is very, very similar. The Malbim is coming to comment on the exact same pasuk. Kitam al ma'al, Rav Arva ben Ezra, katav devar shenit kaseh alav migzeret me'il. It's something which gets covered up V'dverv tovi ma'od, and he says it's excellent what the Ibn Ezra had said here. Ki mi'ila u'bigida, so you notice, again, he also brings both mi'ila and bigida together. Him pa'alim nirdafim, so what did he just now say? They're synonymous. They're synonymous. Pa'alim nirdafim v'shneim mishutatfim l'luvushay adam shikru gam ken b'shem me'il u'beged. V'zim v'ar kishimot ha'mishutatfim yimtza yichus b'neim mitzadma. And you can imagine, this is a longer piece, Kamasha Katav, Bivigdoba, and he went back to our Gemara in Kedushin regarding the father who has mistreated his daughter. Shabagadba Bivigdoba, Kevan Shapiris Talito Alav, Kipa Al Bagad Mishutaf Lubigida Ululavush. Because the root, Bet Gimel Dalid, can mean both clothing and it could be both betrayal. The tamashitufaze, and the reason why this is really the same word, ki kamosha begedi kasebo haadam atchalitra e atzmo uvisro, kachi atif haboged begidato umachase mechavero. Just like a clothing can cover up a person's nakedness, so too can a person clothe themselves and then cover up who they really are. Yitraek ohev the tachtav eva. Can make believe that they're a friend, but beneath the surface, there's really jealousy. Ki ish mechase ervato ayedei bigdo. Just like a person who covers up their nakedness. Again, he's getting metaphoric, but he means this literally. A person who covers their nakedness by their beged. V'kfar ishtam sha hamalitza al kizeh bipa'al kisui mechase sin'a kusa dat kusa kalon kisui chet'a. Which means we see the word cover up used in all kinds of other contexts as well. Mechase psha'av, mechase davar, al kol psha'im techase ahava, v'kiseh chamas al levusho, uv'zeh amadnu ala hevdel shemein bigida umi'ila, even though he said they're the same, shehu kehevdel shebein beged umi'il, shekamosha beged hu alavush hapnimi, v'mi'il hu alavush hachitzoni shetatef bo al bigadav lamala, al habeged yishamesh poal lavash va'al me'il b'fal ata. And the end he writes, kene begida, hi asher yishaker b'chaveiro b'nistar, bilti nigala kol kach, va'me'ila hi ashikur v'shinui ha'mefursamot. So again, I just hope that between the Malbim and Rav Hirsch, we really do get this sense of the words beged and me'il, begida, me'ila, that there is something which is a little disturbing about both of these words. Yes?
Why is it consistent in there? Like, there's that one throwaway line, the Adam Muslim the object, and that seems to be, okay, so the clothing can betray the personality of the person, which is a neutral term, right? Or it's a reflection of who the person is inside. But everything else seems to be that clothing is trying to cover up or hide the real personality of the person, his small-mindedness, his ugliness.
There are other words
Lavush. Well, it's not always negative. We have the first source, which means all the big day kahuna is something completely different. Here we now have a real positive spin to it, but as I said, the positive spin is so much more interesting when you realize, I'll call it the negative roots right now, but we go back and look at that first pasuk again. The Eila HaBigadim, so the word Beged, the word Bigadim should be far more disturbing to us, but again, we I guess this is one of the curses of speaking everyday Hebrew, and that is, which is so used to the word beg, it means clothing. Yeah.
I keep thinking about the Gerush from Gan Eden, where Hashem makes him cook.
Good. Hold on one more second on that, and correct. That's the next place that we're going to go. That we are so used to the word beged having a positive thing, that when we read that word, ve'elah ha-bigadim, it's not that it jumped out of us and say, whoa, we're talking about bigida over here and something which is far worse. But when you read that pasuk again, ve'elah bigadim asher yesu choshen ve'efun u'me'il u'ktonet. So when I see bigadim, me'il, and ktonet, those three words have a negative connotation. And now to get to the third one, we will go back to Gan Eden, and the pasuk ends, v'su bigdei kodesh. That means that part of the kapara, which is what the whole Gemara in source number 2, the Gemara in Zvachim said, that the whole concept of kapara over here is somehow involved in causing this switch between the negative connotations to somehow something which is positive. Thank you.
Or both
directions. Because on the one hand, in Gan Eden, which we're being led to now, on the one hand, in Gan Eden, Adam and Eve did walk around without clothing. So it's a little hard to hide that fact. On the other hand, that I hope was one of the points that came across last week, that this whole concept of the Kruvim take the place of Adam and Eve who walked around without clothing. Again, on the other hand, what do we have here? We do have the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol. So I'm not sure, by the way, when you make a suggestion, it's a really good suggestion or not. You always have to look at the next source and see if it's like the very next thing or not. So if you didn't look, then it's excellent. If you cheat and look, say, well, okay. But you're right. And there's actually more than one use in Gan Eden, and I also want you to notice that. Source number 7, after they take their fruit, and people say fruit is good for you, not always. Vatipachna eneshnehem, v'yiduki erumimhem. And by the way, the word erum was also used twice within that context in two different usage, which is also interesting. One was that Adam and Eve weren't naked, the other one was the Nachash was arumikol. So you also have the double usage right there of erum. V'yitperu ale te'ena, v'yasulehem chagorot. So what did they do? They took what was available, and this, by the way, would be one of the reasons to suggest that perhaps the fruit of the was actually the fruit of the Eitz HaDaat Tov Ra was Te'enim, because they had fig leaves right there in order to cover themselves with. But what did they make? They made Chagorot. So how would you translate a Chagor? Chagorot is essentially something which is very, very minimum, just to cover up nakedness, which means it's not, in a sense, something which clothes, it's something which prevents from being naked. Yes, is that distinction clear?
I see Chagorah as a belt to separate one thing from another.
That's because you're impacted by the Hasidim and all. But correct. But what a chagur is something which makes you not naked. It doesn't make you clothed. That's the point. They put on chagurot, so they shouldn't be naked. They're bothered they're naked, they put on chagurot. Afterwards, and I hope you appreciate that this, I think, is a very, very tender gesture on God's part. After everything else and all the sin, he's about to kick them out. But, v'yas Hashem Elokim la'adam lishtok tonot or v'yabishem. And again, a couple of words there. He makes for them ketonot out of or. By the way, some of the commentaries suggest that it was made out of snake skin. Just to make this thematically consistent.
Why should he take
them so literally? Yeah, he skinned the Nachash and he made them... which is why it's Arom Mikol Chayata Sadeh. But what it does say that he makes them clothing out of leather. But again, the difference here is ktonot. Now, right there, the word ktonet is used over there in by the sin of Adam and Eve, and on the other here, the word ktonet is used in by the sin of Mechirat Yosef, the ktonet pasim. Which means I have when I go back to that first pasuk, I bolded a couple words, ve'ela begadim umi'il uktonet. So Mi'il and Beged both have negative connotations in terms of betrayal or misappropriation, and the word Ktonet has a negative connotation in terms of it's there by the first two really serious sins that have taken place. So I know you can tell me there are other sins also. We'll get to the other sins if you want. But we have at least two primary sins, which are the sin of Adam and Eve, and suddenly the word Ktonet with his in that context. On the other hand we have the word ketonet also used by the Mechirat Yosef. Incidentally, in that parsha, right, in Vayeshev, you probably have, and I don't know if you ever, you know, we generally don't read the Chumash looking for clothing, but there's probably more references to clothing in Parshat Vayeshev than any other, certainly any other Parshat in Bereshit, and any other Parshat till we get to the clothing of the Kohen. We have Yosef's clothing being ripped off. What else do we have? Yaakov tearing his clothing. Yehuda tearing his clothing. We have Tamar covering herself up with clothing. We have Eshet Potiphar, which, again, if you just start thinking about that parsha in terms of clothing, it just jumps out at you that it's really all over the place. Almost all the places, with the possible exception of the coat of many colors, the Tonef HaSim, all the other examples are subtexts, so therefore you don't notice them even. The only one which is a primary issue is the coat of Yosef. But again, I'm pointing out that the word ketonet is used in this context, and the word ketonet is this context meaning Adam and Eve. But again, it's part of the tikkun already, and that's what's really interesting. It's part of the tikkun, which means their sin was they're putting on just the choger, just to cover themselves, and God gives them sturdy, again, I don't know, leather clothing in terms of certainly what was available in those times is probably as sturdy as you can possibly have. So on the one hand, they're being kicked out of this, you know, cocoon, we can call the Garden of Eden. On the other hand, God, as I'm saying, it's very tender that he takes the most sturdy clothing that he has and he forms for them, and the word over here is levush, and he gives them levush in order to take them and protect them from the elements. Again, this is no longer about not being naked. This is about being protected from the elements. So therefore, God, even though he has kicked them out, he's still protecting them. So that's what's so interesting about the ketonet over here. The question, of course, is what does the ketonet pasim mean in terms of Yosef? So I will tell you that there are, I don't know if I bothered with this over here, there are those that suggest that the word ketonet, or the ketonet pasim by Yosef, is an attempt to give Yosef big day kahuna. That this already is the decision that Yosef will be the Kohen, and Yosef is the one who will bring about forgiveness. Of course, ironically, then the sale of Yosef just took a completely different side to it. It goes back to the psukim that talk about, you know, you kill a Navi and a Kohen in one day, right? What is Yosef? He's a Navi. He has his dreams. What is Yosef? He's supposed to be the Kohen, and therefore their chance for fixing tikkun of getting forgiveness is completely destroyed by the Mechirat Yosef. And as again, I'm going to say, we never look at it that way because we tend not to take this any further. But of course, some commentaries are going to say, hold it. The word ketonet is used over here, and the word ketonet is used in terms of where we started, in terms of the clothing of the Kohen. So therefore, what was Yaakov doing? Now think about it. Some of the clothing of the Kohen is going to be a type of colorful type of clothing. And what was he giving him? He was choosing him to be the Kohen. He's the one who's going to serve. So as I said, that this connection, let's just pause for a second and say like this. The disturbing issue is the beged, yes, the me'il, and the ketonet. Okay, only those three. There's one more element which is disturbing. Sorry, I do have it here for you. Source number 8. Vasolok tonet pasim, the Kliyakar writes, Nirena dvarim achar shekfar bilbel Reuven yutzei aviv, tzefter Reuven already sinned, nitlami menu habachora, v'achshav masar li Yosef. That when it comes down to it, he has two different firstborns. And before the sin of the golden calf, it was the firstborn who was to function as the Kohen. But Yaakov has more than one wife. One firstborn is Reuben, the other firstborn is Yosef. The al shem ze asalok tonot pasim lefisha avodah bivcharot v'yaha b'chor Kohen lekel elyon. Al kain asa lechvod ulatiferet ketonet ze domel l'gdei kuna shabahem ketonet tashbetz. Which means the Kliyakar hears this black and white. Why does he give the ketonet? It's not a question of favoring, which, by the way, is what the Chumash does say. He says it's a question of that Yosef has a task. What's the task? To be the Kohen. Okay. Kliyakar does say that. Now, there is something else which is troubling, and this is a halacha troubling. Look at source number 9, and again, we could have had lots of places to look at it, but this was the easiest place. Bigdei kuhuna mutar lihanot behem. Like, can a Kohen dress up as a Kohen and then go off to work? Like, when does he put his Kohen clothing on? So, Bigdei Kuna Mutar Le Not Behem, Lefichach Lov Shim Biyom Avodato, Vafilo Shalo Bishat Avoda, Chutz Meha Avnet, Vibnei Shehu Shatnez. So now we just now realized that we have another problem. What's our other problem? We go back to our first list. We now find out that not only is the problem the Bigadim and the Me'il and the Ketonet, now we also find out that the Avnet is a problem because the Avnet happens to be made out of Shatnez. And Shatnez is something which is also, I mean, inappropriate, but again, it said something interesting. So therefore, Kohen is allowed to wear the Kohen clothing all day, but they can only wear the Avnet during the time of the Avodah. Asur l'Kohen hediot levosho el b'shat Avodah, ein ha-Kohenim levoshim l'Avodah el tzemer u'pishtim bilvad. In source number 10, the Rambam writes that that was in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash. Now, in source 10, it's Hilchot Kelayim, right, where you write about the laws of Shatnez. Kohanim shelavshu bigdei kuna shelo b'shat avodah, afilu b'mikdash lokin b'bnei ha'avneit shehu kilayim. V'lo hu trubo elu b'shat avodah shehi mitzvah asei kitzitzit. Now this connection with tzitzit also needs to be explained, so give me a second on that. The Ravid then asks on the Rambam, Kohanim shelo bigdei kuna, Omar Avram, ta'obizeh, she'om b'yoma b'perek ba'lo, kohen gadol b'mikdash, afilu shelo b'shat avodah mutar. And then he throws in as well, for good measure, Umay de ka'am of Neya Avnechu Klayim, Eno, de Otu Choshen ve Eifod mi Leitbo Klayim. So he says, what are you talking about? The Choshen and the Eifod also have Klayim. What? So he happens to be right. I mean, by going back to the sources that describe exactly how you make it. So it turns out that a good percentage of the Kohen, so the question is why the Rambam said that and didn't include this. So the Radvaz, then later quoted by the Beit Halevi, said that the Rambam only brings things that are actually clothing. The Choshen is not clothing. So if it's not clothing, so then it's not technically a problem of Kalayim, the same way that or Shatn is, or the same way that clothing is. But as I said, now we just came to this realization that the Avnet is made of Shatnez, the Choshen is made of Shatnez, the Ephod is made of Shatnez, which means, so just like, hold on a second, because we're talking about sin, and you know, some
going
of...
back to last week.
Yeah.
Where you said last week, with the Kuvin, when Hashem says it's then it's okay.
I mean, this is even worse. But maybe not. We can decide what's worse. But you realize there's something disturbing over here to this realization that we start looking at the whole concept of the clothing of the Kohen, of the Kohen Gadol. We have the Begidah, we have the Me'ilah, and we have the Ketonet, and now we have Shatnez all over the place. So if this is, you know, sort of like a double negative, you know, like the same way, like by Pora Aduma, you have somebody who's pure becomes impure, impure becomes pure, the Kohen to forgive sin ends up using sin to forgive sin. I hope some of you at least will realize that we're on very dangerous theological, possible Sabbatean. So I'm willing to agree with everything you say. I just want to understand why. Which means the right. But my question is the other way around. If see, you're giving me the same answer as last week in the sense of the Simon Says answer. God says you can't do this, and God said you can do this. So I'm the one in charge. God says, and therefore I'm saying you can use it. And I'm asking. Right. So my question is like this. If God is going to say that Shatnez is wrong, why say it's wrong generally? And you'll answer me, it's a hoax. What kind of question it is? And I'm going to continue and ask my question. So why say Shatnez is wrong generally? And why make the exception over here? So I'm just saying is that there still seems to be something over here that we still need to understand. And you obviously know that if I didn't have an answer, I wouldn't raise the question. If you look at source number 12, the Hadam Yadat Chava Ishto Vatar Vetelet Etkayin. So here we move on. You know, before I started to say that was the next sin, then I realized I'm going to bring that this was also like not such a nice thing that Cain kills Hevel. So maybe some of you would say this is also a good sin. V'yihevel ro'etzon v'kainia oved adama. So we've noticed in the past, this is our basic distinction between the shepherds and the farmers. Now that's real important. You know why? This is our first example of somebody acting as a Kohen. This is our first Kohen. I don't know what he was wearing at the time, but do you notice how this is our first Kohen? Not only that, Kain is the firstborn. So Kain is the firstborn. He's the Kohen. He brings a mincha l'Hashem. Now the thing which is troubling to some is that he says that he brings mi pri ha'adamah. Later on, when we learn about pri, we'll learn about bringing pri, which is reshit mi pri. You can bring the first pri, the choice pri, the first, and so on. So it is ironic that the firstborn, who should know about the first and think the first is choicest, should therefore bring the first. But therefore, this mi pri ha'adama is actually a much louder comment than perhaps we would have noticed otherwise. The hevel, so now we can say hevel is our non-kohen. And Hevel is our non-Kohen because he's the younger one. Hevi gamhu mibichorot tzono. Ah, but you noticed he sacrificed the firstborn, which is very interesting in terms of his, in terms of him versus right. So yeah, so he's willing to sacrifice the firstborn. He has no problem with that. But that's meaning that contrast is exactly what should be jumping out at you over here. Kain is the firstborn, Hevel's not the firstborn. Kain means brings me pre, while Hevel brings me bechoret. So no. Vayish Hashem et Hevel mi pri ad, sorry, vayish Hashem et Hevel ve et minchato. And that should be of no surprise to us. Why? Because God likes the firstborn, but God likes the first. But the one who brought the first is ironically not the first, and that's where all of our problem begins. No. You realize, I hope, that Pasuk Chet, the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk, is absolutely impossible to understand. Why is it impossible to understand? Because something is missing. We have some kind of conversation, but we don't know the context of the conversation, the content of the conversation. But what else is interesting? He drags him out. He lures him out to the field. Yes? How do I know that he lures him out? Vayomer Kain el hevel achiv vayhi biyotam bisadeh. By the way, whose realm is the Sadeh? Kain. So he brings him out to where he feels comfortable as well, but he lures him out there. How does he lure him out there? By doing an action which is one of Begidah, which means he hides out his true intention. Meaning the dress that he, again, all those statements we saw before in Rav Hirsch and the Malbim, he is guilty of some type of betrayal over here by enticing his brother to come out. And then he stands up and he kills him. Right? God asks him, where is my brother's keeper? What's the answer, by the way? What's the answer?
Yes.
Yes. Vayomer ma'asita, and so on and so forth. Again, called me'achicha tzokim alai min adama, v'ata arur ta min adama, asher patzapia, and so on. The phrase patzapia will come on later on in terms of Korach, but we will not go to Korach now. So let me ask you a different question. So who's the first person who's guilty of not loving his brother as himself? So the answer is Kain. Right? Kain goes and kills Hevel. So now, notice something which may be completely, completely meaningless. According to Rabbi Akiva, and perhaps many, many others, you can argue Hillel and many others, what is the most significant verse in the entire Torah? The answer is, V'haftarech kamocha. What's the next pasuk? I know that that's a much harder question. You say, like, and your answer should be, who cares? That's the most important pasuk. It doesn't make a difference anything afterwards. So take a look at source 13. Lo tikom velo titor b'nei amecha v'haftarech kamocha ni Hashem. And the next pasuk is totally crazy. Et chukotai tishmoru b'emtecha lo tarbiya kilayim sadcha lo tizra kilayim uveged kilayim shatnez lo yale alecha. So the follow-up to v'haftarecha kamocha is, don't wear shatnez. So again, what in the world is one thing after the other? Although you do notice that we somehow got back to clothing, but it seems like such a stretch. So look at the Midrash Tanchuma in source 14. If you never saw this before, this Midrash is really quite striking. V'yihi miketz yamim v'yavei kayin, yesh miketz shana v'yesh nataim, right, remember Yosef, v'yesh yamim v'yesh arba'im shana amru chazal b'nei arba'im shana yu kayin v'hevel. So just in case someone ever asks you, how old were they? Now you have a position that says they were 40 years old. V'yavei kayin mipri adama mahu min mutar ma'achalo, which means whatever was left over that he didn't eat, he gave the leftovers. Right? So his mother probably said, there are people starving in Africa, I want to eat the food. And he said, you know what, I'll bring a korban out of it, just as well. V'rabbanan amru, look at this, zera pishtan haya. What was it that he brought? What was this thing that it's thing? Essentially, things which were unedible he brought. Meat pre, something which really isn't, meaning not even the stuff that you can eat. He ate the things you can eat. But then he gives over something else as his offering. So what does it decide is the thing that he brings? Zera pishtan haya. What is zera pishtan? Flaxseed. Right? They say it's good for you. Didn't work out over here. He brings flaxseed. The hevel he vigam hu bibrachot sano mechavleim lefichach ne'esar tsemer upishtin. The reason that shatnez is not allowed is because linen is represented by Cain, because he brings pishtim as offering, and wool is represented by Hevel, who brings from the animal. So therefore this tension between the farmers and the shepherds, between the worlds with the world of things that grow versus the world of animal, and the murder of Cain, or murder where Cain kills Hevel, produces this law, lo tilba shatnez. For Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, eino din sheyitarev minchat hachote im minchat zakai. Lefichach ne'esar. That it's inappropriate to mix together the offering of the sinner and the offering of the one who's innocent, and therefore shatnez is not allowed. Now again, shatnez is a chok. So nonetheless, the Medrash over here is willing to give us ta'amei mitzvah and say, but this is the reason behind the chok, which, by the way, again, makes the juxtaposition in Parshat Kedoshim between v'haftarech kamocha and lo tilba shatnez, it makes it into a much more interesting juxtaposition, because we're told the very isser of shatnez is based upon the lack of love of one for the brother, as is seen over here in source 13. The Zohar goes in the same direction. Korbanah dekayin hava pishtim, v'korbanah dehevel hava tzemer. Lo da kida, v'lo da kida. This is not like that, and that is not like this. Raza demile. The secret of this thing is kayin kalayim hava. So the Zohar just had to go further. Couldn't leave good enough alone, and went further. That he says that I'll tell you the secret behind all this. That kayin himself was kalayim. So why? Irbuvia de lach itzrich sitra achra de lozina de chava va'adam. The Zohar is of the position that the result of Adam being intimate with Eve was Hevel, but that Eve had cheated with the Nachash and then created Kalayim, which is Kayin. That's what the Zohar just now said, that the Kayin himself was Kalayim, and that's why the Isra of Kalayim comes in. So that's a one up. The Tanchuma. V'korbana mehu sitra ka'atya. And therefore his offering came from this negative side. Hevel mizina chad da Adam v'chava. Hevel comes from the offspring of Adam and Chava. Me hada da chava itchabru elan trei sitrin. Begin de itchabru kechada lo atya minayu to alat la alma ve'it avidu. And because of this negative that happened, therefore we can't use this power, and it gets thrown away. The Gra goes so far in source 17 in his commentary on the Zohar, where he writes, it's called the Sifra Ditzinuta, which is a part of the Zohar, where he writes, Vizes sod shatnez tzemer upishtin, and that's the secret of shatnez of tzemer upishtin, ki korbano shel kayin hayapishtin shel hever tzemer, v'imole mizdavgin yachad, if they would possibly ever join together, machriven et olam kulo, they'll destroy the whole world. So if you needed like a really strong, I'm afraid to say overstatement, but that's where the Gra takes it. Now, what should be troubling us? I want to go back to, again, the way of thinking that we've had from the very beginning. We have the clothing of the Kohen and the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. We have the connotation of Begidah. We have the connotation of Me'ilah. We have now the problem with Ketonet. On top of that, we now have a problem with everything which wasn't those things, just about. And they're all shatnez. So again, so what is going on with all of this clothing of the Kohen? Now, on the other hand, we're told there's an exception. What was the other exception? Did you notice the other exception along the way? There was one other exception to shatnez. What was it? What? You have to give you a hint. The hint is, in order to make tcheled, you need also to use wool and linen in order to make the tcheled on the tzitzit. So therefore, the problem is going to be, how in the world am I allowed to use tzitzit, or to use shatnez by making tzitzit? Now look at source number 18, because this is going to provide for us the answer. Lo tilbas shatnez, semer upishtin yachad. Do not wear shatnez and combine wool and linen. And what's the very next pasuk? Gedilim ta'aselach al arba kanfot kusutcha asher tichasaba. And by the way, gedilim means tzitzit. He goes, but make tzitzit. So, oh, I just said but. Don't use shatnez, but here's a case that you can do it. The Chizkuni explains Semer Pishtim Yachtav Lefi Shabbat Takala Ayidei Shneihem. What's he talking about? Kain and Hevel. Lefi Shabbat Takala Ayidei Shneihem Ne'esru Liyot Bevat Achad Hevel Hivi Mi Bechorot Tzono Kain Hivi Mi Zera Pishtim Davar Acher Lefi Shemishneihem Bigdei Kehuna Hizhirim Lilvusham Bechol Rak l'misharatav b'shat avodatan l'kach lo nimtza nega rak b'beged semer u'beged pishtim la'rot sheyesh pesha b'kelayim. Anybody have any idea what he just now said? Look at source 20. Look at the Dats Kenny Bali Tosfot. It's at the same school. L'fisha parochet lo tibat shatnez l'fisha parochet nasami sheish v'sheish kitna u'mitkalet v'tichla imrads, all words in Aramaic, harit semer u'pishtim yachta v'lo ratza kodesh baruch hu she'asu Banav dugmato kemo shematzinu biktoret isha sheyaseh kemo lahariachba v'chulei v'chein amur chazal lo yaseh adam bayit tavnit heichel achzadra tavnit ulam. He's saying is that there is a prohibition against building your house to look exactly like the Mishkan. There's a prohibition of building in your house a menorah that will look exactly like a menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. What the Dats Ken the Baal Tosef just now said. And that's the reason that we can't wear shatnez, because shatnez is the way that you make the clothing of the Kohen. So the prohibition of using shatnez, he's flipping it around. He's answering our question the other way around. He says, why can a Kohen wear shatnez? So he says, no. A Kohen can wear shatnez because that's the way you make Big Day Kahuna. Why can't we wear shatnez? Because it's the clothing of the Kohen. So again, he just now flipped the question around and says, no, that's exactly the point. You cannot wear Big Day Kehuna outside of the Beit HaMikdash, outside of all your function of Beit HaMikdash. One of the key elements of making the clothing of the Kohen is the combination of wool and linen together, and therefore you can't wear wool and linen outside of the Beit HaMikdash. That's what the Dats Kenev said. I think that's what the Chizkuni means as well. Rabbeinu Bachaye in source number 21, Lel Tilba Shatnez. Lefisha parochet nas, sorry, lo tibat shatnez, semer pishtim yachtav, arugim otfurim ze beze yachtav, av mutar hu levosh beged shot semer, al beged shot pishtim she'en ze yachtav, v'orot shot semer mutar lo tofurim b'chute pishtim lefisha enu beged, v'sod ha-mitzvah zot kar katavti b'seder kedoshim. But I already explained this back in Parashat Kedoshim, so what should we do? So we should look at the next source and see what he says in Parashat Kedoshim. See how easy that is? Al derech hapshat, tam isur kolayim bnei shekol advirim hanivrim ba'aretz, ben chai, ben tzomeach, yesh lo koach umazal l'mahala, v'kol achad v'achad nivra l'mino, ki ken yasad ha-melech yit'aleh b'ma'aseh b'reshit, sheyeh kol achad v'achad l'minehu. There are separate realms in the world. Which means if you ask me, why can't I make a hybrid of two different trees, he's saying, because God made this and this, l'minehu. And therefore, there are separate realms in the world. First of all, he started says that shot. Umishu marbia umarkiv shnei minim arayu mishaneh umachish maaseh bereshit shekatuv sham leminehu. V'oze hefech Hashem shewatza lavdil bein haminim ke'ilu mar'eh et atzmo shehu choshev ki lo yaspik anivrim shebara kodesh baruch hu ba'olama. He thinks that God, what God made wasn't good enough. V'hu rotze lehitchakem ulahosif od sham minim mechudashim al kol ma shebarachai ha'olamim. And he wants to improve on God's creation. That was pshat. Derech haKabbalah, b'sod mitzvot hakelayim, ma shenesar lanu b'vigadim, v'otzem v'apishtim, l'fisha noladim rishonim, who's that? Kain and Hevel. Karbanam hayatzem v'pishtim, zeh v'yatzemer, zeh v'yapishtim. U'lekach nesar lanu hachibur atzem v'pishtim yachdav, l'fisha chibur shneim b'kerem achad, lo ala yafeh. כי הבזה ירבוב כוחות הגורם למה שהוא הפך השלום. וסוף הוא הכיח על תחילתו. כי רצח זה את זה בסוף, ונבנו שניהם מן העולם. כי בלבושו בגד כליים שעטניז יעלה עליו רוח הטומאה. כי יהיו החיבור שני הפכים, אשר אין חיבורן עולה יפה. So now what question you can ask after all this? So then why can a Kohen wear it? Or sits it? Why should any of this ever be allowed to be made out of? Tchelet. Umashahu tar hakelayim v'tzitzit gam bevigdei hakohanim ubilvad b'shat avodah lefi shekol hakochot hamishtanim ze mizeh kulam klulim b'mitzvot tzitzit bein halavan v'tchelet v'zehu sod hakatuv shamar eshet chayel. And you're saying, hold it, how in the world do we just now get eshet chayel in the middle of a discussion about tzitzit and bigdei kuna v'hi midat hatchelet Darsha Tsemer Upishtim. That she's the one who knows how, the Eshet Chayil knows how to make the Drasha of Tsemer Upishtim. By the way, what's the Drasha of Tsemer Upishtim? That you're not allowed to wear Tsemer Upishtim together unless you're doing Avodat Kodesh. That's the Darsha Tsemer Upishtim. She knows how to turn it into Kedusha. Vitas Bechafetz Kapeha. Yomar, ki amida hi doreshet v'chokeret achar ha'over, u'mechaberet tzemer u'pishtim yachdav, kidei la'anisho, u'mitzad acher v'tas b'chefetz kapaya b'tzitzit, v'im kulam klulim b'mitzvah tzitzit, ein tzarech lomar b'beit ha'mikdash, b'shat avodah, shakol hakochot klulim sham, ki kol inine beit ha'mikdash shamata, kulam dugmot inine beit ha'mikdash shamala. So let's try to say this in English. What he's saying. He's saying that in this world, when it comes to non-holy, we have different realms and we need to respect the different realms. And if we try to combine the different realms, we may end up making certain realms disappear. I mean, again, on a really fundamental level, why does Cain kill Hevel? Because he thinks that he's replaceable. We don't need him. He doesn't realize that he is a unique human being, and if you kill him, makes no difference. Says no, and that's really what Chazal are doing over here. Say no, it's not that these are just this. He represents one realm. He represents another realm. Getting rid of Hevel is something which is unthinkable, and therefore it's the lack of respect for the whole other realm. So therefore, it says the way that you respect the other realm is by keeping them separate and not just trying to combine things together. Because the combining together in a non-holy way tends to make one side of it unuseful, disappear, unnecessary. But when you do it in a way which is Kodesh, and again, it's interesting, that's the Eshet Chayil, and that's the Darshat Semer Upishtim, that's the taking all of the Kochot and using them for Kedusha, by saying, no, each one of these things are Kodesh, which is something which the Kohen has to do to be able to work inside the Beit HaMikdash. You know, even today, the Halacha, this is the Halacha, if there's a Kohen, who's in a fight with another person in the audience? He can't get up and be a Kohen. He can't give a bracha when he's mad and fighting with somebody else. You can't make a bracha l'varechet Am Yisrael ba'ahava if you don't have ahava in your heart. You can't get up if you're fighting with somebody to be a Kohen. You can't function as a Kohen. I'm saying even today, even in a shul, even getting up to do Pirkat Kohenim, certainly in terms of the Beit HaMikdash. In order to be a Kohen, you need to be able to get past these divisions and the opposite. This is exactly the thing. The opposite is true. You need to know how to combine all forces together to be the proper representative of everybody. Meaning you're not Cain and you're not Hevel. You represent both realms together. That is what the Avodat Kodesh is. And that's why specifically in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen is not just able to wear the Shatnez. That's why he's saying is that the Shatnez is is made, sorry, where the Bigdei Kuna is made out of the Shatnez. It has to be that way. Say it there.